To you, O Lord, I lift up my hands. I have this image of a child when they're really tiny and they want you to pick them up or they're crying. What do? They throw their hands up and start pouting and saying, mommy, 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 right? Or they cry and they throw their hands up. Pick me up, pick me up, pick me up, pick me up, right? It is a basic prayer that's universal to any kind of child of any language, culture, nation, color, creed. When a kid wants your attention and they're super tiny, they throw their hands up. Pick me up, pick me up. It really is a beautiful image of what prayer is. You know, pick me up, daddy. Pick me up, mommy. And we see in the first reading today how Moses has his hands in the air in a similar fashion, but in an image of intercession. He raises his hands as he sends his army of Israel to fight against Amalek and his army, which is much larger, much more powerful, much better equipped. On the basic view of things, it's a losing battle guaranteed. But Moses goes up to this mountain, and as they're waging war, he holds the staff of God in his hand. Arguably, we believe, the same staff he used to part the Red Sea, to hit the rock from which flowed water for the people in the desert, and so forth. And so as he raises the staff and raises his hands, the Israelites, holding his arms up in intercession and prayer to the Father on behalf of his people, they start winning in battle. But as his hands grow tired and weary, his arms, they start losing. And it's only when others come to help him, Aaron and Hur, to raise his arms for him, that eventually Israel conquers this battle. Moses, his arms got tired. And we in prayer can get tired. You ever see a child where they're pouting and they throw up their hands for you to pick them up, and if you ignore them, eventually they throw their arms down, they fall to the floor and go full-blown temper tantrum. When we pray and we don't get what we want, daddy, 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 answer my prayer, give me what I'm asking, right? We eventually get tired like Moses, or worse, like that child, we throw ourselves on the floor and we have a spiritual temper tantrum. I'm not talking to you anymore, God. I'm done going to Mass. You didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted or when I wanted. I'm done with you. And even though we're adults, we're like that two-year-old child having a spiritual temper tantrum before God, our Heavenly Father. And the scriptures today remind us that, in the gospel in particular, that God does hear us and he is answering our prayers. But we often assume that, well, if I ask him for this, he should give it to me. Sometimes behind that way of thinking is an unconscious belief or understanding that God is my servant, not the other way around. I tell God what I want and he gives it to me. And if he doesn't, I'm done with him, or I'm at least angry at him. And we don't consider the fact that God knows what we need better than we do. And he already knows what we want. We don't even have to tell him. But when we pray with open hearts and heartfelt prayer from our emotions and our feelings, prayer eventually changes and molds us. Because if we persevere in prayer, we go from, God, I want this, you better give me this, and if you don't give me this, I'm going to be very mad at you, to, all right, Lord, I've been asking for this for a long time and you haven't given it. What do you want for me? You know what I want from you, but what do you want for me? Because what God wants for us is far better than we can even ask or know to ask. Our children will say, Mom, I want candy, I want candy, I want candy, I want candy. And you tell them, no, we're going to have dinner first. But I want candy, I want candy, I want candy. No, we're going to have dinner first. And then they have a meltdown. Because as a loving parent, as imperfect as we are, we know that the child should have a healthy meal first, and maybe then candy. So we didn't answer their prayer. We didn't give them what they want. But we gave them something better. No child for Christmas asks for underwear, t-shirts, and socks. But they need them. They'd probably be happy to be stark naked, but have their PlayStation or their Xbox. But you know, no, you need clothes and shoes. And if we have money later, we'll get those things if we can. You know enough of what is good for your child, even though we are imperfect. How much more does God? So we ask for certain things we want. And it's not that he's not answering our prayer. It's just that he's not giving us what we want. And if we give up on prayer, if we don't persevere, we lose the whole experience of discerning, all right, Lord, what is it you want for me? It must be better than what I'm asking for. Because God will always answer our prayer as it concerns what we need to be saved, to get to heaven. But he will not always answer our prayer in terms of what we want or when we want it. His ways are greater than ours and beyond our understanding. And persevering in prayer means that we trust. We trust even when we don't get what we want, even when we don't get when we want it. And sometimes after we pray for a time and we're talking to God, hopefully then we allow for silence to try to listen. But then you say, people will say naturally, but God doesn't say anything back. I don't know what he wants. And that's where we go to Scripture. Because when we pray, we speak to God. But when we read Scripture, God speaks to us. He teaches us. He tells us about how he is and who he is and what he desires for us and what is important for us in his mind, which is so different than our own. That's why when Paul writes to Timothy in the second reading today, he reminds him that all Scripture is inspired by God and that it's useful for teaching, refutation, correction, and training in righteousness, equipping us for every good work. Now, mindful of the fact that when Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, telling him how important sacred Scripture is, he's not referring to the New Testament. It didn't exist when he wrote this letter. In fact, when he was writing this letter, he was writing the New Testament. The Scriptures that Paul is speaking about to Timothy are the Hebrew Scriptures, what we traditionally have called the Old Testament. It is important for faith, refutation, teaching, correction, righteousness, and equipping us in every good work. The Old Testament is equally as important as the New Testament, because the New Testament, as St. Jerome would tell us, is the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old is made manifest in the New. Without the Old Testament, we cannot understand the New. It makes no sense, and it's void of context. And so when we read Scripture, we're allowing God to speak to us. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Open the Bible. Pray with it. Pray through it. At least the readings of Sunday. At least the readings of the day. Or you may begin with the gospel or something in the New Testament. And we can begin offering courses in Old Testament studies as well. And so Jesus uses this parable in today's gospel to urge us to not give up. To stop the childish temper tantrums that we can tend to do as spiritual adults when we don't get what we want, when we want, and we throw ourselves on the floor and cross our arms and stop talking to him and have a temper tantrum by going to other things to quell our anger, alcohol, drugs, pleasure, money, fame, power, whatever it might be, whatever our poison of choice and preference is. But rather to realize that if I'm not getting my prayer answered when I want and how I want, it's because God has something better in store. To you, O Lord, I lift up my hands. It is an act of faith. It is a sign and symbol of prayer. Think of the example of St. Peter when he's petrified in this boat on the Sea of Galilee, watching Jesus walk toward them on the water. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, call me out onto the water with you. And Jesus does. And Peter starts walking on water because his eyes are fixated on the face of Jesus. That's what's sustaining him. He's looking into the face of Christ. And in Christ's gaze, Peter is seeing who he really is. Ultimately, prayer is looking into the eyes of Jesus, and in the reflection of his gaze, I am learning who I am in the truth that Jesus is incarnate. And Peter's able to walk on water. We can do anything when we're looking into the face of Jesus and learning about who we are from his gaze. The moment he turns away and he sees the waves and the wind and the storm and the depths of the sea, he begins to sink. And like a child, what does he do? He throws his arms up. Jesus, save me. And Christ grabs him and pulls him up out of the water and back into the boat. Jesus, save me. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we've stopped praying. But when we look to his face, his gaze teaches us who we are. Children learn that. They learn about themselves by how their mom and dad look at them, by how their grandparents look at them. Later on, by how their teachers and their peers look at them. And they learn from that gaze at them, oh, this is who I am. Or at least, this is what others think I am. But it's only when we use prayer as a way to look into the face of Jesus and see reflected in his loving gaze toward us the truth of who I really am, that prayer becomes transformative. And we begin to realize, yes, Lord, you want to hear from me and anything I want and anything I need. But at the end of the day, I know that you already know that. And you have better plans for me, better desires for me than I could even begin to imagine. Help me to know that. Help me to understand that. Help me to at least trust in you. And that's how we persevere. Because at the end of the day, the Christian is like Moses, raising our hands in intercession for ourselves and those we love in the world. But eventually we get tired. And without people to pray with us and for us, our arms fall and we begin to lose the battle of life. But letting others carry us in prayer, lifting up our arms as we proceed and persevere, not growing weary, we realize that day in and day out, whether we get what we want, when we want, our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. For the Christian, their hands are always raised to the Father. Pick me up. Hold me in your loving embrace. Place me in your lap. Hold me close to your heart, Jesus, and let me rest there. That is prayer. If we never give up, what happens is we may not get what we want, but we'll finally begin to learn what he wants for us.